الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يعمل من الصالحات من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama-i-kiram, brothers and elders. Every single person on earth, no matter what he believes in, whoever he may be, whatever his social standing, whatever might be the condition of his health, and anything else and everything else, there's nobody who has any difference of opinion regarding the fact that life is very temporary and that we are all headed towards death. Then there's differences. A mu'min believes that death is only a step in this whole phase of eternal life thereafter. That insan came from nothingness, Allah Ta'ala created him, then he was in alam-e arwah, and then came through all the various phases into dunya. But then after dunya, death is not the be-all and end-all. Death is only the starting phase of the everlasting life of hereafter. So every single person has this conviction about death. And also every single person knows that he cannot not guarantee anything about tomorrow, cannot even guarantee anything about tonight. Then there are those who believe that, well, once death will come, that will be the be-all and end-all. The person is then no more and has got nothing to answer for. But that is not what a mu'min believes. Person who has iman, then he very well believes that there is life in the qabr. There is the answering of the questions in the qabr and the grave. There is a day of qiyamah coming, when a person will be questioned about all his amal. And then there is the decision of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala regarding whether he will be going to Jannat or Jahannam. Fariqun fil Jannati wa fariqun fil Sa'ir. There's a very great personality, Thabit Bunani rahimahullah. He never used to laugh. Somebody asked him that you don't ever laugh. So Allah Ta'ala has made this declaration, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. That one group will end up into Jannat, but another group will end up in Jahannam. I have no idea where I'm heading for. Until I don't know where I'm going, I cannot ever dare laugh and smile. And he said, as he was passing away, he started smiling. Allah Ta'ala showed him whatever he showed him. But the point is that a mu'min, this is his belief that life is a journey, part of the journey of this life of akhirat that's still coming, which he's heading towards. The akhirat, this is the opportunity Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with to make the akhirat. The life of qabr, the life of akhirat, this depends on how we live our life of dunya. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. The dunya is the planting field of the hereafter. What a person plants is what he will reap. And in order to reap the good of akhirat, all the bounties of Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter, the system Allah Ta'ala has placed in dunya is, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That as far as this world is concerned also, Allah Ta'ala's nizam and system is, the person who has iman and amal saliha, Allah Ta'ala promises him a good life. What is a good life? So if a good life meant that a person has all the wealth in the world, then the number of people that are committing suicide in the lap of every luxury that would never have been heard of. The number of people that are taking their own lives despite having whatever they can, what money can buy and more than that. But why are they so despondent of life that a person thinks, well, it's best to just end it off. Whereas it never ends off here. But if wealth was everything, then this would never have been heard of. But it's heard of almost every day, every other day. So what is a good life? A good life is something inside, which Allah Ta'ala blesses that person who has that iman and has amal saliha. Allah Ta'ala grants that heart of his, that contentment, that peace. Allah Ta'ala fills it with his muhabbat. And that tranquility that he gets despite whatever the challenges would be within him. He'll also feel pain on the surface. But there'll be something inside which will be a balm on that pain. So this comes, Allah Ta'ala has made this system iman and amal saliha for dunya also. For the good life of dunya. And for the good of the everlasting life of akhirat also is iman and amal saliha. The promises of Allah Ta'ala, numerous promises of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif, these promises are on these sifat, these qualities. Iman, amal saliha. Amal saliha is a very comprehensive terminology. It includes all the amal of the zahir. Person's salah is in place, fasting in the month of Ramadan, his zakat, his hajj. Then this amal saliha includes, together with all the faraiz, obviously he wants to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. He wants to benefit from the proximity of Allah Ta'ala. He wants to have that very close relationship with his creator and sustainer. He wants to become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. So he's not going to suffice on just doing something like an employee. He did his job 8 to 5. And now don't ask me anything beyond that. I've done my duty and please give my salary. No, he's somebody that does something out of love. So he, besides the faraiz, wajibat, sunnat-e-muakkada, he wants to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. So he now tries and does as much as he can of the nawafil as well. He tries to keep himself engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Keeps himself occupied as much as possible in the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. Because all this brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala. So amal saliha includes all this. And to the extent that there will be that muhabbat and love for Allah Ta'ala, to that extent he will do more. And to the extent that he has this muhabbat and love for Allah Ta'ala, he will try to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. He'll make an effort to bring others closer to Allah Ta'ala. Because to the extent that he does this, he'll become more beloved to Allah Ta'ala. So this is also part of this amal-e-saliha. This amal-e-saliha includes his mu'amalat, his dealings. How does he live his life in terms of his dealings? The honesty, the truthfulness, dealing in a manner that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught. Not making that dealing and that earning of livelihood the object of life, rather just as a means to an fulfilling his needs. That he's earning a halal living in order to fulfill his needs. And whatever excess he'll have, he will benefit from it, others will benefit from it. He'll use it to serve the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But that mu'amalat, completely clear, clean. And then the mu'asharat and his social life, how he lives with people, how he lives at home with his family, how he treats his own parents, how he lives with his children, how he fulfills the rights of his neighbors, how he lives with people in general in society. And then his akhlaq and character. What kind of akhlaq does he have? Does he have the sifat that are required in terms of akhlaq? Because it is on all these aspects that the promises of Allah Ta'ala are there. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah Ta'ala says, you will be dominant. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ If you are true believers, if there's true iman in your heart. Once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed by one sahabi, Hazrat Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He asked him, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْتَ يَا حَارِثَ Haritha, how are you? How did you start your day today? So he replied and said, Asbahtu mu'minan haqqa. I have started my day in a way, alhamdulillah, I have true iman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked that you are making a claim, every claim must have some evidence for it, something to back it up. You're making a very big claim. What's your evidence? So he responded and said that I have brought myself onto this, that I have detached myself from the world. So he was living in dunya also. He was also eating and drinking. He also perhaps might have been married. He also did whatever other insan do. But he said, I detach myself from the dunya. Meaning the heart is not in dunya at all. And I have kept my days thirsty, meaning by fasting, I have kept my nights awake in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And now this iman has grown to a point. Outwardly this human being will seem a human being like anybody else. But when he excels in the worship of Allah Ta'ala, he then applies himself in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, in fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala, in uplifting the deen of Allah Ta'ala, there's something that happens within him. One is this outer form of this insan. But then there is this ruh within him. And all these amal, they give strength to that ruh. And that ruhaniyat increases. And that increases to a point like Hazrat Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu is saying, it is as if ka'anni anzuru ila arshi rabbi bariza. As if I can see the arsh of my Rabb. It is as if, in reality, a person can't see it in dunya. But that reality which has been expressed in the Quran and Sunnah, that becomes so vivid in a person's mind and heart, it is as if he can see it. And that now guides him. That how can you do this? You'll end up in the fire of Jahannam. Or how you are being lazy from this? This is something to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. It is as if I can see the arsh of my Rabb. As if I can see the people of Jannat and join the bounties of Jannat. And it is as if I can see the people of Jahannam, how they are being tormented and punished in Jahannam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are a person who Allah Ta'ala has illuminated your heart. Allah Ta'ala has adorned your heart with this noor of Iman. So look after it. So there is a reality to this Iman, which the Sahaba Ikram, they had achieved this. But it didn't come by wishful thinking, it came with effort. They made an effort on themselves. They brought all these amal-e-saliha in their lives. So in the Quran Sharif, in many, many ayat, Allah Ta'ala has made the promises, but the promises are linked to sifat. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ The sifat of taqwa, the person who has taqwa in his life. The person who has sabr in his life. Sabr, this is one of the very, very great parts of akhlaq. Person who has iman, he has taqwa, he has sabr. Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow the actions of such a person and the efforts of such a person and his rewards to go in vain. Allah Ta'ala will give him the full rewards of it in the akhirat and he will benefit from it in dunya already. And in many other ayat, it is sifat. The qualities. It is not just something outside. It's something inside. When that something inside has been developed, has been achieved, that iman, that taqwa, that sabr, that tawakkul, that inabat and turning towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the khashiyat and the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the muhabbat and love of Allah ta'ala, and all the various other sifat have been developed, then that zahir becomes valuable also. Then that action that a person did, externally, because of that sifat of iman, that ikhlas which is also part of it, now that external amal will become very valuable. It will become very effective. Otherwise that external action will be there. But if the sifat are missing, then in the absence of that ikhlas it will become riya. Man salla yura'i faqad ashraka billah. The person is also performing salah. This person is performing salah. That person is also performing salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the person performed salah, he did everything. He did the qiyam, ruku, sajda, he recited the best qiraat, and he made recited longer tasbihat than everybody else. But if there was riya in it, Nabi Sallallahu, he was committing shirk from beginning to end. Outwardly it was salah, but that was shirk because of that sifat, having the sifat of ikhlas missing. Man sama yura'i faqad ashraka billah. He was fasting, but just to now impress others. The fill fast I kept now, but now to impress others. He was keeping a fast, another person was keeping a fast, that person is in an ibadat too. But this person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, is in shirk. So all the promises of Allah Ta'ala on sifat. And this is what we are being asked to bring in our lives. That we should come into Iman and Islam totally. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala addresses the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe. And this is a very affectionate address in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala is addressing his those who he loves. O my beloved servants. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Udkhulu fis silmi kaffa. So already those who have Iman, they are being addressed, Allah Ta'ala is saying, enter into Islam fully. Enter into Islam in totality. Now a person has got Iman already. What does this mean, entering into Islam totality? This is the various branches of deen that we discussed earlier. Coming into totality in all the aspects of deen. Not only in something and not in something else. Everything. Whether it's ibadat, then a person is performing his 5 times salah. Not 4 times. 4 times salah is not a namazi. Sometimes we become deceived ourselves. Alhamdulillah, I'm making 4 times salah. In one sense, alhamdulillah, the person is making 4 times salah. You've got to say alhamdulillah on that. But in the terminology of sharia, such a person is a fasiq. And in the among the fuqaha, the lightest ruling regarding this is the ruling of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The other three imams of fiqh, they believe, or their ruling is, such a person should be beheaded, who deliberately leaves out a salah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh says, such a person will be imprisoned, and he will be flogged until he makes sincere tawbah, I'll never miss my salah again. Now this is how important salah is in deen. So now the salah is also in. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. If it is the month of Ramadan, he's fasting. It's zakat, he's fulfilling it. It's hajj, he's fulfilling it. If it's dealings, then they also is not behind. He's in fulfilling everything. If it's an agreement, he's fulfilling his agreements. It's not that he's now shirking in this, that, well, I perform my salah, so this is something fine. Once Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, there was a pact between him and the Romans. And it was for a fixed time. Up to a certain date, this pact is in place. Then after that, the pact is over. So any case, as the date was approaching, he gathered his armies close to the border. That as soon as this time will lapse, we will immediately then cross the border, because now the pact is over. And then we will have no difficulty in overcoming the enemy. So what he did, gathered them all in the territory of the Muslims, but close to the border. And then as that date lapsed, he immediately gave the instruction and his armies just went in. And without any difficulty, because they caught the enemy unawares. So they'd gone deep into enemy territory. And suddenly one sahabi from, they hear one person shouting far from the back, coming on horse. And he's coming at full speed, and he's shouting at the top of his voice, Wafa'un la ghadrun. Wafa'un la ghadrun. That you must fulfill your agreements. Don't ever do something against an agreement. Don't commit treachery. So they stopped. Who is this person? What is he saying? So sahabi comes, the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ambasa bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala an. And he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that if a person has some treaty with somebody, then he must not do anything that is against the spirit of that treaty. Unless he now has brought the matter equally to both parties that, look, this treaty is over. Now you already started gathering your armies beforehand. You already was making harkat in this direction. This is against the dictates of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Though you only cross the border thereafter. But the Sahaba wa Sahaba says no, success is not in conquering places. Success is in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muawiyah now gives the instruction, all the armies must retreat. Come back into Muslim land. And we'll let time pass, then we'll decide. That iman, a'mal, sifat, this amanatdari, upholding one's agreements, promises, having all the sifat of iman, this is where the help of Allah Ta'ala is. Throughout the world, the ummah is in this difficulty and hardship. Unfortunately, we have iman and Islam in name, but the sifat are lacking. That akhlaq of a Muslim is lacking. That ibadat, if it is there, it is outwardly there, but that ruh of that ibadat is lacking. So this is that spirit that we are being asked to bring back into life. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa. That it is not what apparently seems to be success, that if I have so much of wealth, so much of dunya, so much of power, so much of influence, then this will be meaning success. Outwardly, if none of these things exist, then it means no success. The Sahaba didn't understand it like that. When the ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed, that إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And all these intoxicants and all these forms of gambling, all this is rijs, it is filth. All this is filth from the handiwork of shaitan. Totally refrain from it. So one sahabi had gone with his entire savings, all his capital. He had gone out of Madinah Munawwara before this ayat was revealed. And he bought a big consignment of drink and wine, that now this will come back and he'll sell it because now this is imported goods. He'll sell at a higher price and he'll make a very great profit out of it. But now as he's approaching Madinah Munawwara, he gets the news that this is the ayat of the Quran Sharif that has been revealed. So he leaves everything there and he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he mentions that this is what has happened. I went with all this and I brought this consignment and came. And now this is the ayat of the Quran Sharif that has been revealed. So what am I to do? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to him, ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala's command. So he goes and he immediately destroys that whole thing. No questions asked that, but now how will I survive and what I will do? They realize that success and every good of dunya and akhirat is in the obedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they, their muamalat, their dealings, their consciousness about halal, haram, in every aspect, their ta'alluq with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how they link their hearts to Allah Ta'ala in every condition, how they kept themselves in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in all conditions, the lives of Sahaba Ikram are filled with all these incidents. That which they brought in their lives, that which the sifat they developed in their hearts, this is what created that environment of success all around them. And then words even weren't needed. That very environment was such that a person coming in that environment, it didn't require even him to be told something. That environment was enough. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent one army towards Najd and they captured one person. He was a leader, Sumama bin Usal, radiallahu ta'ala. They brought him back to Madina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the instructions, had him tied to one pillar in the masjid. Any need he had, he was taken, fulfilled the need, come back, tied to the pillar. So he remained there. So the first day after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is leaving, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed by him and asked him, Ma indaka ya Sumama? What do you have to say? You got something to say? You want to ask something? So he responds and says that in taqtul, taqtul zadamin. Wa in tun'im, tun'im ala shakirin. If you kill me, then you're killing a murderer. I have killed a lot of people. So in other words, I deserve it. So if you kill me, you have the right to take my life. Because I have killed many Muslims. But if you spare me, then you're going to be sparing somebody who will be very grateful. This won't be returned with ingratitude. And if you want wealth in return, if I need to ransom myself, there should be some money to pay, then سَلْفَ تُعْتَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْهُ. Whatever you want, name the price, it will be given to you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes away, doesn't say anything. The second day again, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finishes off at night and he's leaving, he asks him the same thing. Ma indaka ya Thumama. He replies the same thing. He says, yesterday, what I told you yesterday, same thing. That if you kill me, then I am guilty of murder also, so you have the right to take my life. But if you spare me, I'll be very grateful. And name the price if I have to pay the price. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi leaves him and carries on. The third day, the same thing happens. After the third day, the same conversation takes place. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, open him out, let him go. He can go for free. No problem, let him go. He's free to go. So they open his bonds up and he's left to go. He walks out and he goes to a nearby orchard, goes and takes a ghusl, and he comes back and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. Nobody gave him any bayan. Nobody spoke to him at length anything. Yes, he observed the lives of the Muslims. For that period of time that he was there, he observed their ibadat. He observed how they interacted with one another. He observed their akhlaq. He observed their sifat, which shone out of everything that they did. Because this affected his heart, that in 3 days' time, nobody had to tell him anything, iman came into him. So this is that environment that they created with their amal, with their iman and sifat, that this is what brought deen to then its peak. So deen came alive with this effort. Effort within and the effort without. The effort internally, they brought the sifat in them, and with these sifat they made the effort externally. Allah Ta'ala then granted them that victory which couldn't have been dreamt of. It was beyond imagination. That people of this caliber, this kind of people, with this kind of resources, and all the things that are negative, but what Allah Ta'ala granted them, nobody could have imagined. But it didn't come, neither it came from wishful thinking, nor it came from just some talks, it came with sifat, and it came with effort. For this iman came to us with this effort, this iman came to us with this sifat having been developed, and a great amount of effort. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the effort that he made, we hear about this repeatedly, the sacrifices that he made, the kind of hardships he went, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, what kind of hardships they underwent, what kind of difficulties that they had to bear. But all this was done so that deen could move on. The deen of Allah Ta'ala could reach the four corners of the world. So this didn't come to us without that effort. Let alone going to anybody else, it won't remain in our own lives also without effort. Let alone somebody else getting affected. Without effort, even in a person's own life, deen won't remain. If this iman doesn't remain at some kind of constant, that that's there, it's pitched at a certain point, and that's where it'll remain. The iman will either be improving, increasing. Every time that a person will be doing something positive, he'll be engaging in some amal, he'll be doing something for deen, this iman will be improving, and otherwise it'll be decreasing. All the time this iman requires charging. Nowadays we are all familiar with charging all the time. Every person is, let alone at home, he's already walking all the time with this charger also. Every available point he gets, he's charging. The car also, the charger must be with. And then sometimes he's traveling, then first thing he's looking for where he can charge. If he got off some plane or some train or bus or whatever, the first thing he'll be looking for to charge somewhere. He says the more apps that they're on, then the more the battery will get drained. And before a person knows it, there'll be no battery left. It'll be dead. So likewise, there's so many apps of shaitan all around us. All the various things that are distracting insan, all the time those things in his hand, and those buttons that he's pressing. And if he doesn't keep charging this iman, then even though he's not deliberately getting himself involved in any haram, there's so many apps on all the time around him, that it is all the time draining this battery of iman. Something that his eyes are just falling on, unintentionally also, but is leaving some kind of imprint on his heart. If he didn't make deep istighfar, it'll leave something behind. His ears are getting assaulted with the noises of shaitan, sometimes without even any intention. All kinds of things are attacking his heart and mind. And every step there's something or the other that the forces of shaitan and nafs are trying to waylay him. The person is not constantly making an effort to improve this iman, this battery will just die off. Then suddenly the person was making 5 times namaz with jamaat, with takbir-e-ula. Now forget the takbir-e-ula, the jamaat is not there. Then one namaz is getting qaza also. Then a few more namaz are becoming qaza. And then tilawat then becomes a faraway thing. And then a person will be reading for hours on end, but not he'll be reading social media and everything else. But tilawat of the Quran Sharif, no time. One page of the Quran Sharif to make tilawat of one page will become very difficult. What happened? The battery died. So when the battery died, how is it going to light up anything? For to light up something, there needs to be charge in it. So where's the nur of iman going to shine out if the battery is dead? So all the time this effort of iman is required for ourselves to keep this battery of iman charged. And then just as people made effort for iman to reach us, without the effort of others, Allah knows best where we would have been. It's the effort of numerous people. How many people's crying? How many people's tears that were shed? How many people's blood was shed? How many people's sweat was poured out? And how many people made what not efforts? This iman then reached us. Allah forbid if this effort we don't make, let alone iman then continuing in our generations, Allah forbid, we don't know where we will be. We need it for ourselves first and foremost. And together with ourselves, we need this effort of iman for our families, for our communities, for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a mu'min. A mu'min is not for himself. And this we learn about and we are reminding ourselves about every day, in every rakat of every salah, that we are made to say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Ya Allah, guide all of us to the straight path. Not only myself. Ya Allah, guide me also. Guide every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every rakat, we all have to say it in the same manner. We all have to make this dua in the same way. Ya Allah, guide us all, everyone. So that muhabbat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the ummat, that transferred to the Sahaba-i-Kiram, and the Sahaba passed it on to those after them, that it was this concern for every single human being. And that effort was made for everyone. Then, hidayat is in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But that love, that concern Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, that effort that he made, that dua that he made for his ummat, once Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she saw him in a very good mood, meaning very happy. So she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for me. She saw her husband happy. So she asked for something. She asked, make dua for me. That's what she realized was something to really ask. Not something material. Dua is going to bring everything of what material can't, one fraction of it can't. So in any case, she asked for dua. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her. اللهم اغفر لعائشة ما تقدم من ذنبها وما تأخر وما أسرت وما أعلنت. Ya Allah, forgive Aisha, whatever might have happened in the past or whatever will happen in the future, anything open, secret, everything, forgive it. Aisha Ridwana heard this dua, she became so overjoyed. She couldn't contain herself. Somebody makes dua for us in that manner, we'll say Jazakallah, and then we'll still wait for something further. That, well, okay, you gave me dua, but what else? But she became so overjoyed with this because she understood the value of this. She couldn't contain herself. In that ecstasy and joy, her head came down into her lap. Can we imagine, like, overjoyed? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this and he asked her, Ayasurruki du'a'iya Aisha? My dua has made you happy, O Aisha? She said, indeed. After all, it's the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she expressed that, yes, indeed. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then replied and said, innaha la da'wati li ummati ba'da kulli salatin. That this is the dua I make for my ummah after every salah. This is the concern Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for every person in the ummah. And this is that concern that included us also. We are also sitting here with iman and taking the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala out of this concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that effort that he made, and that Mubarak blood of his that got shed, and all the various sacrifices that he underwent, and likewise the Sahaba Kiram, and then as it moved on. So we also have to now make this effort for ourselves. And we have to make this effort for our families, for our communities, and for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this is all the various efforts of deen, and this effort of da'wah and tabligh Allah ta'ala has given us, it's for the same purpose. It is the barakat of this, that today we are sitting here in the house of Allah ta'ala, otherwise Allah knows best where we would have been. So we too have to make whatever effort is within our capacity, the best we can do. We too have to make this effort to now keep this iman alive within us and for everybody else. For this is the ijtima that is taking place, inshallah. And whatever tashkeel will be made, we try and now present ourselves for that. In this way, inshallah, we too will benefit. Others will benefit. This will benefit our iman, the iman of others. And inshallah, this will bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala, bring others closer to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamd.
Ji, who's the first one? Yes, who's writing? Ji, Haji MS, mashallah. Ji, Dr. Saab, mashallah. 4 months, inshallah. Allah Pak accept, mashallah. Keep sitting on it. Mashallah. Ji, what's the name? Samir, Allah accept. 4 months, inshallah. Allah accept, mashallah. Who else, inshallah? Each one make a niyat, inshallah. 4 months, inshallah. Dawood, Allah accept, mashallah. Hafiz Junaid, Allah accept, mashallah. Hassan, Hassan Allah Pak accept, mashallah. Ji. 4 months, ji. Yunus, inshallah. Allah accept, 4 months, inshallah. Ji. Come, mashallah. Each one make a niyat, inshallah. From this ishtima, inshallah. Akhtar by Allah accept, 4 months, inshallah. Ji. Wattakaza, inshallah, India, Pakistan. Ji. Haji Ahmad, mashallah, 4 months, inshallah. Spent 4 months pedal last year. Making niyat again, 4 months this year, inshallah. Who else, inshallah? Each one make niyat, inshallah. 4 months IPB, those who haven't been. And 4 months pedal, inshallah. Mashallah. Allah is the one who will take, mashallah. Ji. Haji Yaqub, mashallah. 4 months, mashallah. Allah kabul, mashallah. Ji. Who else, inshallah? Mashallah. Young and old, mashallah. Mashallah. 1 year, sana, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. Just finishing this year, inshallah. Making niyat 1 year, inshallah. Allah Pak accept, mashallah. Madras Hamidiya. Who else, inshallah? Yusuf. What's his name? What's his name? Muhammad Ismail, mashallah. After me, getting old now, this. Who else, inshallah? Come. Each one make a niyat, inshallah. 4 months, inshallah. 1 year also. Ulama making niyat 1 year. Then how much time we have to give, mashallah? Who makes niyat, inshallah? 4 months pedal also. We and jamaat, inshallah, 4 months pedal also. Two jamaats are out. They are about finishing their time in the ishtima. One jamaat is from Port St. John's. Allah's fazl, we know Port St. John's. One time there was nothing. Now there's probably about 30 or 40 families in that area. Jima, how many families there? About 40 families. Mashallah, they take out a 3-day jamaat every week. And this is how many now? This is the fourth pedal jamaat that came out from there. Fourth pedal jamaat that came out from a place that's only got 30 families. And most of them, Allah's fazl, Mawlana is also making effort. All of them, Allah Pak has reverted to his deen. And the barakat of that, now alhamdulillah, they've got about 32 maktabs around there. 32 maktabs and musallas in that area. This is the barakat when effort will be made, inshallah. So two jamaats are there. So who makes niyat? The jamaat will be finishing in China. The other jamaat is working in the solo area. Solo and all those areas. Many of us may be knowing, you know, Haji Mahmood Jibai. So we're just joking with him. You know? I told him, we took you out of TFS, you went into Kui. Now we took you out of Kui, now you're sleeping in the shops. But Allah's fazal, so he says, I don't know whether to laugh or whether to cry. He says, there are people for 10 years and 11 years and 14 years never saw the inside of a masjid before. Never made a single salah in 14 years. Allah's fazl, last weekend was a jor in that area. Almost 500 brothers came for that jor from those areas. So who else makes niyat, inshallah? The sweetness of pedal, walk in those areas where nobody has heard us. Nobody has seen us. Nobody has heard the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak will open up his deen again in those areas. Who else makes niyat, inshallah? Come, mashallah. Who makes niyat, inshallah? When effort will be made, there's a masjid in Mount Aleph. So the Imam was giving Kalguzari. So I mentioned it to Maulana Ahmad Chuan Sahib. So he gave the background of that youngster and his family. He says his mother saw in her dream that a place of ibadat is coming up. So they thought there's a church here, so it's fine. But she kept seeing a thing, eventually she saw people in sunnah. So when she told that to her mother, then her mother told her that your father was a Muslim. And now they made that into a masjid, and their son is an imam also in that place. So who makes niyat inshallah? Allah Pak has given us a great effort in. Who else makes niyat inshallah? Make the niyat, Allah Pak will take us. 4 months pedal inshallah, that enjoyment of walking inshallah. It's coming in the heart to make some niyat. Who else inshallah? Come mashallah. MashaAllah, Hussein, Allah accept. 4 months pedal, Allah accept, Allah make it easy inshallah. We need one jamaat at least from here inshallah. Dawud Falls inshallah. Allah accept inshallah, 4 months, second mashallah. Who's the third one inshallah? Our job is to make niyat. Allah will make us walk, inshallah. Who else, inshallah? Come, mashallah. Hafiz Junaid, Allah make it easy, inshallah. Muhammad, Allah accept, mashallah. Gee, how many we got there? Gee, mashallah. Allah will give you shifa on that knee. Just stand like that, mashallah. Gee, Hafiz Sab, mashallah. Hafiz Hamza, Allah Pak accept, inshallah. Allah make it easy, inshallah. Gee, who else, inshallah? How many we got there? Five. You need another 5 more, inshallah, to complete this jamaat, inshallah. Gee, just make the niyat, Allah will take inshallah, don't worry. Allah will take that his job inshallah. Gee. Few more names inshallah, 4 months pedal inshallah, this jamaat should get complete from here mashallah. Central zone mashallah I think is the biggest population of Muslims. From the Khalid Guzari that came after Maghrib Salah. One masjid, beloved brothers. 1,000 baligh males. 1,400 baligh males. 800 baligh males. Around one masjid. I think just this area that we counted, probably about 7,000 or 8,000 baligh males. And how many of them in Sarah? How the fikr, the becheni, the restlessness. One person made effort, Kalguzari in Zululand, in Jozini. One person made effort. 170 baligh males in that area. For Zuhur and Asr, they are in the locations. But Fajr, Maghrib and Isha, 170 of them for Fajr, Maghrib and Isha. How we can make this figure? So inshallah, we make niyat inshallah. So inshallah, chilla chilla jamaat inshallah, quickly inshallah. We can make niyat inshallah, masjid. Who makes niyat inshallah? Chilla inshallah from the ishtima? Okay. Ibrahim inshallah. Allah accept mashallah. Who else inshallah? Hafizah mashallah. How many jamaats? Hafizah? 3 jamaats. 3 jamaats for chilla for Madrasa Ahmadiyya. Allah Pak kabul, mashallah. Muhammad, inshallah, naqad, ready, inshallah, from ishtima, kash. Tufail, inshallah. 1 jamaat also from New Era, inshallah. 1 jamaat from Ashaval, inshallah. Ji. 1 jamaat for Pakistan also. 3 jamaats local for Madrasa Ahmadiyya, 1 jamaat for Pakistan also. Ji. Who else, inshallah? Make niyat. We don't know whose life will change. It's not an individual, but generations. Who else, inshallah? Come, mashallah. Shawaj, inshallah, 1 jamaat, inshallah. Which other masjid? Glen Road, how many jamaats, Atkar bhai? You sure enough there? Inshallah. 2 jamaats, inshallah. Canon, inshallah, how many jamaats? 1 jamaat, inshallah. Enough there, yeah? Make near 2 jamaats, inshallah. Inshallah, 1 jamaat, they're making near to look for the next one. Really, 1 jamaat is 10 brothers. Let us think, how many brothers in that area? We make little harkat, Allah Pak will give us, inshallah. Gee, which other masjid, inshallah? Henry Road, inshallah? Gee, how many jamaats? 1 jamaat at least, inshallah? Henry Road, inshallah. Gee, which other masjid left? Westville, inshallah? Westville? Who's here from Westville, inshallah? 1 jamaat, inshallah? Westville, inshallah. Gee, which other areas make niyat? Hilal. Gee, Masjid Hilal. Who's here from Hilal? Gee, Hashim? 2 jamaats, inshallah. Allah accept, inshallah. Which other masjids, inshallah? Of this area? All made niyat, inshallah. Cheek, inshallah. What about buses, inshallah? How many buses? Let's start from one side. Ji, Masjid Hilal, how many buses? One bus. If I can remember, you all said something like 800 homes, am I right? There's 1,600 baligh males. 1,600 will fit in one bus. Just work out the logistics, you know. Make niyat, inshallah. Make niyat more, inshallah. Allah Pak will give, inshallah. At least, try for 3 buses, inshallah. Okay, inshallah. Ji, Glennon Road, Akhtar bhai. You told us 700 baligh males. Eh? Let's see how they're going to fit. We first set in the bus from Glennon Road. From that time, you'll take out buses, inshallah. Make niyat, inshallah. Two buses at least, inshallah. Ji. We make our azimes high, inshallah. Allah Pak will give us according to that. Ji. Cannon? Two buses, inshallah. Cannon, inshallah. Ji. Henry Road? I saw the list almost full there on the board. Eh? You got one bus, inshallah. Make me another bus also, inshallah. I was there for Jummah. This is already full, mashallah. Ji, which other masjid? Who has me? Yeah, Ashival. Ji, Ashival, how many buses? Melanson Road? One bus? Enough then. One bus is paid for, making fikr for another bus, inshallah. Ji, which other area? Shawud, ji. Two buses. Allah Pak make it easy. You all got, I think, one of the biggest population. 1,800 baligh males. Two buses, inshallah. Allah Pak make it easy, inshallah. But if you keep figures in front, then we'll understand. If you got 1,800 people, 15 buses, how many buses we need? That's the potential of our area. That's the figure we should make. That's the azaim we should make. So we all take back this figure, inshallah. We sit and make mashwara, inshallah. We make effort. Allah has given us almost just under a month. If we make fikr, we don't know who will get ready, inshallah. Which other masjid? All of them. Reynolds Road, inshallah. Anybody from Masjid Nur al-Huda? Anybody from Reynolds Road, yeah? New Era House? One bus, inshallah. Prophet? One bus, inshallah. New Era, inshallah. G. Pinetown? Anybody here from Pinetown? Who will make fikr on Pinetown, inshallah? Who's doing the outgush to Pinetown? I think Shawud is doing. Ji, you all make fikr, inshallah. One bus at least from there also, inshallah. Allah accept, inshallah. Take inshallah. All the areas around us, let us make fikr. One is we have the responsibility of our area and the areas around us. All these areas, let us go make effort, inshallah. We don't know which gem from there, what the Allah Pak will use them, inshallah. Allah will take khair, inshallah. Anything else? Ji. Also together with us, we can request all the brothers, inshallah, every day Allah has given us tawfiq. We read Surah Yasin. We read it with the niyat also for success of the ijtima also. Our mothers and sisters at home also. You find many, many ijtimas that took place. Behind the success of those ijtimas with those women folk. Behind the dindari of a home is the deen of the mother of that home. You find that deen comes into progenies. So let us include them, inshallah, in our fikr, inshallah. Request them for dua every day in the home. Days of Ijtima, if they can also fast, inshallah, is also going to be one of those Mubarak nights also. Among the 15th of Shaban will be on the day of the Ijtima. So let us, inshallah, make them fast also with the niyat of the success of the Ijtima, inshallah. And from now, each one of us, let us commit some time. The gush that's taking place, let us take part in the amal. We don't know that 1 hour, 1.5 hour, whose knock on which door Allah Pak will change whose heart. In one more Kalguzari, in Matuba. So this young son, Istiqbal, his name was Qamar. Yeah? So he had some cold drink and water. Yeah? So he asked him, what you want? I said, I want juice and ice cream. Yeah? So he said, no, I'll make a plan for you. I said, what you want? He said, ask Imam Sahab. So I said, I'm joking. Yeah? The next day he came to take us for gaish. So I asked him, Qamar, how you accepted this town? How many years you were in deen? He said, about 3-4 years. He said, I saw a jamaat walking for gaish in the location. And that affected my heart. I came and accepted this town. Then he said, when I was coming for Asr Salah today, my mother phoned me and said, I'm also ready and I want to accept this deen. And he knew everybody in that location, in the whole location of Konsan. He went to this home and that home and many of the youngsters whom Allah Pak used him as well for their hidayah. So inshallah, let us all inshallah make fikr in all our areas, localities, our mothers and sisters. Allah Pak give us tawfiq inshallah.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين، والحمد لله.